The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Just, you know what I'm going to say, right? You know what I'm going to say?
Oh, no.
Another one in the books. Another one in the books.
I knew it as soon as I said no. I remembered another one.
Another one in the books. So
where are these supposed books, by the way? Can I get my hands on a copy of the books?
I have an external hard drive, and my external hard drive has so many secrets. One of the folders. So if I go into my external hard drive and I go to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, then I go to Archives.
Okay.
Then I go to Historical Documents. And then it's within the Historical Documents.
That's folder. Where the books are.
Yeah. Also the MP3, The Moment We Met. That's in there as well.
Look at that. Memories.
Oh, you know what? This week, you are going to get to have some memories as well, because I'm forcing you to watch Cats with me.
Oh my God. Just like the last musical that I think, and this is to be fair, okay, people, because for people who don't know, we watch a musical every single week and everybody gets to like pick which one they want to do. And it's usually one that I haven't seen before to expand my horizons in the land of musical theater. And Sarah is forcing me to watch not like a good version of Cats. She's making me watch the really bad version that came out a few years ago.
No, I don't know. I haven't decided yet, actually.
Oh, I thought you said it was the bad one.
Yeah, because the bad one is the one it has Taylor Swift in it and like James Corden. But yeah. I think that I believe that it would be even more fair. Give Cats a chance if I gave you the one from the 1980s, which was like a stage recording, then I feel like maybe there's a more of a possibility that you'll like it. And the thing with Cats is it's kitschy and stupid and it makes no sense, and that's why it's great. Mm-hmm. So
which I love things that are kitschy and stupid and make no sense. So
I think that I'm going to make you watch the 80s version.
I would love that. I would love not to have to see James Corden's face on my screen.
Yeah. So yeah, what are we doing here today?
We are talking about Buffy season one. We finished season one last week, so now it is time for our wrap up. Just to break this down for people who maybe didn't follow us on our journey through Boy Meets World or Dawson's Creek. After every season of a show, we stop down. We take stock of all of the characters' journey through that season. We update our character rankings that we do midway through the season. And then at the end of the season, we give out some MVP and LVP awards to different characters. We talk about our favorite and least favorite episodes of the season. And then we make some predictions. And the fun thing about this one, Sarah, is with Boy Meets World, we weren't ever really making predictions. We were kind of like making hopeful statements because we've seen the show, so we know what happened. And with Dawson's Creek, you were always making predictions because I had also seen the show. This one, we both get to make predictions and we have no idea what has happened in Buffy since it aired.
No, so, I don't know. I don't know anything.
So I'm excited. I'm really pumped for this one. So yeah, that's a little bit of a, if people haven't joined us on any prior shows, that's how we do this. And then next week we're going to start season two of Buffy. So we usually always start with, let's start with our general thoughts, Sarah, because Buffy is a show that people love. Like it is, people talk about it. It is like a holy grail show for a lot of people. So for me, I came in with very high expectations on what we were going to get. However, Sarah, I think it was like very quickly after we started the podcast, a lot of people were like, listen, season one is a little more rough than the rest of the season. So like bear with it, whatever, whatever. I feel like it's fair in saying that both of us felt like season one wasn't as bad as I felt like it might be because of the warnings that we got.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely how I felt as well, where I was anticipating it to be like really crusty and it was only partially crisp, I would say, but
yeah,
I mean, like, I really liked it. Like, I'm trying to figure out like what's a holy grail show for me, and I don't quite know if Buffy will get there. Now, there's always the podcasting bump where, like, you and I,
we
make memories in our own right, and we have fun along the way. So, like, a lot of these shows hold like a special place in my heart for that reason. But I don't know what's considered. Oh, I know. Succession's a holy grail.
It was my number one show of all time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are other ones that I think, like, I think it's interesting to discuss, like, how a show becomes your holy grail show. Because for some people, it's like, oh, I watched this at a very formative time in my life, or I watched it week to week. So we don't have that nostalgic feeling about Buffy. You know, we aren't teenagers when we're watching this for the first time. So we're watching it with a very different perspective. That being said, Sarah, knowing the historical context of this being a 90s show where you have the lead as a strong female protagonist who like kicks butt, I understand why people fell in love with it, because it is, it's really fun. It's like whimsical. They do have like those moments of lore, which will be great for people who are really into that sort of thing. So yeah, I get it. Although it certainly was like cheesy, right? Like some of the, like the teacher's pet episode with like the praying mantis thing, like some of it's very cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but it wasn't so bad. Like I really enjoyed the first 12 episodes of Buffy, and I'm definitely very curious to see what comes up for the next two. So the next two seasons, because everybody says seasons 2 and 3 are like the creme de la creme. Right. And like I said in the last episode, we were told that for Dawson's Creek, and seasons 2 and 3 of Dawson's Creek were like definitely the heyday of Dawson's Creek, like the high highs. Of course, there were moments that I loved in other parts of other seasons, but those were the like the you know, the best seasons. So, but you know, we have so much to get through, and like I think that The first thing that we love to do is kind of go through the characters and talk about their growth throughout the season and kind of what they're going on. And I think that the woman of the hour is Miss Buffy herself. What's Buffy's last name? Buffy Buff?
No idea.
Buffy Stevens.
Buffy Buffington. Ooh, Buffy Stevens sounds like it would be good.
Buffy
Martin. No, that's
Martin.
Buffy Simpson.
Okay, we don't know what Buffy's
last name. I feel like Buffy's
is.
Last name should be like a Vander something, kind of like a Gossip Girl esque. Like,
okay. Well, maybe we kind of fucked up and we don't know what Buffy's last name is.
No one ever says her last name. It's just Buffy.
Buffy. Okay, so Buffy. I mean, yeah, we love Buffy. I love Buffy. I really think that, like, I loved her since episode one. And I think, like, the thing that we love about her is that, like, that Buffy, those Buffyisms, like the Buffy snark, her, the way that she talks, the fact that she is, like, very snarky and funny. And I love how we started off the season with her rejecting like social hierarchy for and you know, going towards somebody like a Xander and a Willow because she saw Cordelia treat, you know, the lesser popular people and she didn't like that. I know that she came from her old school in Los Angeles where she was popular and she was a cheerleader. And I'm sure we speculated that she probably was like that mean girl in her old school and she doesn't like that. But I also like the fact that throughout the season, we see her struggle with the fact that she lost her social hierarchy and she's not the cool girl anymore and how that sucks because she's not getting invited to parties or she's not getting invited to hang out or she's getting made fun of in the halls. And I think that like that's very human to like make a decision that is like probably the better decision, but then get like not punished, but like I guarantee you bitches were not making fun of Buffy, Buffy Martin.
Buffy Martin, yes,
Buffy
as she
Martin
is now.
In her old school. I guarantee it because I'm sure she was like the cool girl. And I think like it's being made fun of. So I love that character development throughout the season. I like her like understanding that there is like a responsibility and like a weight to being the Slayer. And it's not all fun and games. And it's not all just like giving up your Friday night to go on a date with a hot guy. Like there's actual consequences. And like part of that is that she might die. Like it's very likely that she can die. And having that weight upon her and like understanding that like it's bigger than her. And it might be inevitable, but like she's the only one that could do it. And that's just like the deal of being chosen as the Slayer.
I totally agree with everything you've said. Like the reason Buffy works so well as a character is because she has depth, right? Like she isn't just the popular girl. She isn't just the dork or the one who like isn't in the popular group. She can be both and kind of neither at the same time because she's always, there is something so lonely and isolating about being the Slayer. Because no one will ever understand what it's like for her beyond other Slayers. Which I guess is a good question as to like, will we ever see her meet another Slayer? Is she the only one that exists? That doesn't make sense. There have to be other like hell mouths, mouths of hell in the world. But yeah, I think it's that. I think it's the fact that she does struggle with the fact that like, she's in an entirely new school system. She's meeting new people. She's trying to figure out where she lands while also dealing with like basically the weight of the world on her shoulders throughout the entire season. And Sarah Michelle Gellar does such a great job in this role. Like not anybody could pull this off. I feel like it takes a very specific sort of actor to be able to do what she did and make Buffy likable and make her like understandable and, you know, make you care about her. And yeah, I just think she has the fashion, she has the snark, she has the comebacks, she has the like a little bit of that like crush mentality with Angel. I don't know. I liked everything Buffy brought to the table this season. I get really pissed off when people don't listen to Buffy because I think she's like wise beyond her years just because of this role that she has as the Slayer. So yeah, like kudos to Buffy for being an incredible protagonist because Sarah, Buffy is going to buck the trend of me not really caring for like main characters in shows. Like generally my favorite characters are the sidekicks, like the people on the friends of the main character. Yeah. And Buffy is just like, you want to root for her. So why wouldn't she be your favorite? She's the one who kicks ass. She's the one who kills the baddies. You know, of course you want to root for her. So yeah, Buffy has a really great journey. The other thing too, that I think was a big, like a defining moment for Buffy in this season is like us finding a little bit more out about her relationship with her dad. We've got a little bit of stuff with her mom, right? Like it seems like they have a little bit of a tenuous relationship, but finding out about their, her parents' divorce and how, of course, she feels like she's partly at fault for it. And all of that really, I felt like deepened the character in a way that can be kind of tough to do with only 12 episodes. So I'm really excited to see what else Buffy has to offer in the coming seasons, because I mean, we always joke about like the kicky punchy stuff, but it's still pretty cool. Like it's still like fun to watch. We're not like ragging on it. It's more like, how do you recap kicking and punching, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm curious, like, do you think that there's a possibility that there's going to be seasons where like she just really pisses us off?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Every character lives long enough to piss me off if a show is longer than like a few seasons. And there's like plenty of seasons for Buffy to get on my nerves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested. I'm interested in seeing what comes of it. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's go to one of the sidekicks. Let's do Willow.
Okay. I think it's very disrespectful for you to call them sidekicks.
Scoopies.
How would you like if I was like, you're the sidekick?
Do you have powers?
Yeah, my
well then I'm okay with being charisma. The sidekick if you have powers.
Okay. So I actually like Willow a lot more than I thought that I would. Like typically it's not really my MO to like the dweeby dorky characters, the cerebral characters. It's just like not really something that I gravitate towards. I like somebody like a Cordelia, or a Blair Waldorf. I'm thinking like I loved Abby Morgan in Dawson's Creek. Like it's not really my brand to like the dorks, but I really like Willow because I think that she has like a lot under the surface. Now I wish that she would wear less overalls, and I wish that she would do something other than her Googling, aka hacking, but I think that there's a lot of potential there. And I think that like I feel as though we're really going to get more of her in the second season and her family life and like what makes her tick and like her past. And I really, really love about Willow the fact that like we start the season and I feel like she was so down bad for Xander. Like she would have done anything for him. And then by the end of it, like when Xander was like, oh, like Buffy rejected me, will you go to the dance with me instead? Willow was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like I love like the self-worth that she is developing. And like, I mean, one thing is that like, you know, she's finding what she's good at. She's getting older, or like also like having a best friend like Buffy is giving her confidence because she sees Buffy and she's how Buffy does things and she's learning from her. And I think that's really great. And I also think like it's really nice, like you talk about Blair Waldorf, like it makes me think of her relationship with Serena or Joey's relationship with Jen. Like I really can't see a world, and I'm sure it's gonna happen, but I really can't see a world where Buffy and Willow are going to be hating on each other. Like I don't see like a frenemies type of thing until like one of them becomes evil and the other one has to like, you know, attack. But like I don't see them like fighting over a guy. Like I don't see them like talking behind each other's backs. Like I think that this could be like a very genuine female friendship, and like we don't see that all the time. Like we do. Like I mean, the women from Sex and City, they fought at times, but they were always very strong friends. Like I think to like Pretty Little Liars, because I'm watching Pretty Little Liars, and like sometimes they had issues, but they were friends. I mean, sometimes they did a little murder, but everything was fine.
Just a little light murder, no big deal.
Just a light murder. But like, I celebrate female friendships because a lot of the times we see like men get into the way of that. And
well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Felicity, right? Feeling like a prime example of like Julie and Felicity feel like they're already like kind of frenemies by, you know, a certain point. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but like, it feels destined that they're destined to be frenemies because of a guy. And I totally agree with you that like, while I do think there will be moments that like Buffy and Willow aren't getting along because maybe they have like a difference of opinion on something, I don't foresee this becoming a frenemy situation. And I think a good like point in our favor with that sort of prediction is Willow has not resented Buffy because of Xander's feelings for Buffy, which I feel like the show could have easily done. They could have leaned in all the way on that, right? And they didn't.
Totally.
And Willow is a character, it's fascinating for me because I didn't know much going into Buffy. Like I knew Willow like existed as a character. I didn't know much about her. And so when we first met her, I fully expected her to be my favorite character out the gate because she is the type of character that I'm drawn to, right? Like your nerdy kind of girl who knows everything, sits behind the computer and does the hacking sort of character. She has a lot of heart. She feels in a lot of ways like the glue that holds the group together. I just don't think she's fully there for me yet. And I think it's because we spent a lot more time on other characters this season, mainly Buffy being like the main one. And so while I think we did see some growth in terms of her, you know, the Xander of it all and her kind of saying, I'm not going to be your like backup plan. I think there's so much more room for growth for Willow. And I think a lot of that is what I hope to see is Willow finding self-confidence and like knowing that she's a boss ass bitch too. And I think Buffy's going to help with that. Like, I don't think it's going to be like, woe is me, I'm not Buffy. No, I think Buffy is the type that props people up with her. And so I think I'm hoping at least that that's what we're going to get from Willow as the seasons progress, because right now, while I really enjoy Willow, she doesn't feel fully fleshed out to me. And she doesn't feel like I'm not rooting for her as much because I don't know. There's just, she needs a little bit more, you know what I mean? Like a little more substance there, a little more growth. But I like what I did see. I feel like this is going to be like she's going to be like the Andy McPhee where I'm like, stop dressing her like a 12-year-old. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, please stop with the, I love overalls. A girl loves overalls. So stop it. Give her some more grown-up stuff. Come on.
Yeah. I think that our friend Linda said it best where she thinks that Andy McPhee and Willow shops at the same stores.
Oshmagosh.
And I think that talking about like last names, I think Willow's last name is Rosenberg, something along those lines.
Willow Rosenberg. That sounds good. I like it if it's not right.
She's a Jewish queen, apparently. Yeah.
Can we move on to someone who I hated?
Yeah. So Xander, I like to do what I call positivity sandwiches. I'll start with some positive things about Xander so that we don't live in a world of negativity. I don't think that's very helpful for anybody. Xander has good hair. Xander was attractive in the pack episode when he became a badass. Before he started eating people. No, he didn't eat people.
He only ate a pig.
I know. Okay. So no, like I think that seriously, I think that I understand what Xander is supposed to be in this group of friends. Like he's supposed to be the comedic relief. He's supposed to be the one that keeps it light. Like I don't remember which one of our listeners said it, but whomever said they're supposed to be like the Ron from Harry Potter, like I understood, like it clicked for me, like who Xander is supposed to be. Like while Xander might not be the competent one all the time, like he has the desire to help and he also is meant to be there to keep things light. Now, the thing is that 90s humor and humor in the 2020s is
not the same thing. Like, there's a lot of things that Xander does and Xander says that really just don't work for us, especially we're like women, older women, 30 somethings that, like, you know, like, we see when, like, I mean, a douche is a douche. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, he's a teenage douchebag. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a teenage douchebag.
I mean, like, I'm sure that that's what Weezer wanted to say, but they just, like, they couldn't. They just couldn't. So, like, I think that Xander, and, like, my hope is that, like, he'll mature and, like, you know, but, like, I think that he's always going to be the person that tries to make things jokey and light. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't think the character of Xander is meant for, like, our demo, you know? Like, I think the character of Xander is meant for, like, the guys, the young teenage guys that are watching this show.
Yeah.
And so that they can see really themselves in him.
Yeah.
And which is what what's his face tried to do, because, like, this
he tried
to emulate himself in Xander. He wanted to see himself in a character.
Yeah, and I get that, right? Like, if we're thinking about marketing and having this show pop for a broad audience, having a female protagonist feels like you're going to isolate the teenage boys, right? Like, unless they're watching because they're like, wow, Buffy's hot. Like, that's what Xander does as a character, is he brings in that demographic. I think the problem is we're watching this show in 2024. And of course, a lot of the shit Xander says does not hold up well. And it's written to me, it's lazy, because it's very one note. Like, mm-hmm. Xander, only half the time he's talking about how hot girls are, and the other half of the time he's, like, pining over Buffy. And so, like, neither of those things really worked for me, because it felt like, listen, if it was a situation where it was like, oh my gosh, this person has been my friend now for a while and I've just developed feelings for them and blah, 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 great. But it was like, as soon as Buffy showed up, Xander was just like the dog with, like, the tongue rolling out of its mouth in a cartoon and its eyes like, ooga. Like, that's what it felt like. And so because of that, it never felt like there was a ton of substance behind the crush. And it always felt to me like he was just like, I just want to date Buffy, just to date Buffy, not because of, like, who Buffy is and what she believes in. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's how it's always felt to me. And that's why Xander just doesn't click for me as a character. I hope we see growth from him. I'm sure there will be moments where I will enjoy Xander. You know, like, he's had a few moments over season one where I've given him some credit for doing a good job. It's just like, when all he's doing is constantly talking about women and their bodies and all of that, and, like, just generally goofing up all over the place, really not a character I'm going to root for. But I understand the reasoning behind creating a character like him in the 90s, you know? So I don't know. Xander just doesn't do it for me. I'm hoping that next season we don't have as much of the, like, Xander pining for Buffy. I either want him to, like, mm-hmm. get a girlfriend, get over the crush.
Yeah.
Buffy gets a boyfriend and he gets over the crush. I don't know. But I just think, like, if we could focus Xander onto something else, and, like, if he gets powers or something, or, like, I don't know. I think there's a way they could make me like Xander. It's just not it right now.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you want to talk about Cordelia?
Yeah, let's stick with the students. Let's talk about Cordelia. She felt fairly one note for me throughout the season up until like the very end where she had like a bit of a spike right in the finale. She's like the bully, right? Like she's the popular girl who shits on all the dorks, but she is a fun popular girl. She's not Abby Morgan levels of chaos for me yet, but Sarah, what do you think if I said, okay, and I'm apologizing to all the people who didn't listen to Dawson's Creek. Abby Morgan was like, she was a chaos gremlin in that town. And she just liked to fuck shit up. She was like someone who would light something on fire just to watch it burn, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And while I don't think Cordelia is as unhinged as your Abby Morgans are because she cares too much about being popular. And Abby Morgan didn't give a single shit.
No, Abby Morgan really didn't care about her self-image, but Cordelia only cares about her self-image.
But I do think she has Abby Morgan upside. And what I mean when I say that is I think she has the ability to be a character that we are like, fuck yeah, Cordelia, just from what we saw in the finale.
Yeah. I think that like the times that we did not enjoy Abby Morgan was when she like was actively trying to ruin the lives of the people that we cared about watching. And I really don't think Cordelia is setting out to ruin people's lives. I just think that, like, she's a judgy fuck. Like, maybe she's a Virgo. I don't know. But, like, she's judgy as heck, and that is infuriating. Yeah. So I think that we are definitely going to see, like, more of her in season two, caring less about that. And I think it's something that, like, once again, like you have to actively grow out of. Like, I think that, yeah, like when you're in high school, that type of stuff really is important to you. And I mean, like, you hope that you grow out of that. I mean, I know that there's women throughout their entire lives that view status as the most important thing. But I'm hopeful that we'll see less of that with Cordelia, especially because she, you know, wanted to help. Like, I think that she found like a respect for Buffy, and it doesn't seem like she's actively going after Buffy anymore. Now she just has to do the same with Willow and Xander.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for the trauma bonding that happened at the end of season one, right?
Like, well, she forgets. Like, this happened like three other times and she forgot every single time.
But this felt different. I don't know. There was something about this where it was like the end of the fucking world sort of thing that felt bigger. And like, I'm not saying that we're going to start season two with Cordelia a part of the Scoobies and like BFFs with everyone. I just think it has changed her in a way that like other events didn't really. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing growth from Cordelia. We've had mentioned on the pod like by a few people like, oh, just wait, like Cordelia gets like really fun. So I'm looking forward to more from Cordelia because of what we got to see in the finale. To me, that was like what really dimensionalized the character and made me think, okay, now I'm in on this character. Let her be a chaos gremlin. I would love to see it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of her. And everyone needs a little bit of like a baby villain. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of a thorn in your side. No, she's not going to like ruin the world. She is going to ruin your day, but that's fine.
Yeah. What I hope that she doesn't do is like reveal that, that people's mothers are mentally, you know, unhealthy. And
yeah, Abby Morgan was a real asshole a lot of times. We forgave her because she was so iconic, but she did some real bad shit.
Very bad, yeah. And hopefully she doesn't get taken over by the pond scum.
Seagook. Oh my god, yeah. What if Cordelia dies by way of Seagook?
Well, terrible. You know what? It is the number one killer of teenagers in the creek. Cape Side. But yeah. I don't think that Sunnyvale. What is this?
Sunnydale. I know that.
Sunnydale. I don't think that they have the same problem. I don't know if there's any.
No, they just have Hellmouth.
What? How would you rather die getting swollen up by like penis monsters or death by Seagook?
Oh. I feel like the penis monsters would get more like news coverage. So probably that, because at least I would go out in an iconic way.
Sure.
But how embarrassing to die by penis monster, you know?
How embarrassing to die by Seagook.
That's true.
Angel yeah. was a character, very mysterious. I mean, yeah. like, I'm very intrigued by him. Like, I am very into the Buffy Angel ship at this moment. Like, I think that it is like forbidden love, and I think that's very entertaining. I'm not very bothered by the fact that he like comes in, says something cryptic, and leaves. Like, I think that that's just his yeah. vibe, and I'm fine with that. Like, I like give me nothing, King. I love that.
Yeah, I'm more annoyed with the crypticness of Angel than you are. I think I just want him to say a little bit more. Like, yes, we all had that guy who was like a sexy, mysterious man who were like, yeah. oh my God, he's so deep. Like, he's thinking such deep thoughts, and he probably wasn't thinking fucking anything.
Yeah, he's probably thinking about like one fish, two fish, three fish, four fish. Yeah.
Oh, what am I going to eat for lunch today? Yeah, it's like, but I do.
Burgers, some chicken nuggets. Like some barbecue sauce. Oh my God, wait. Have you seen the Chick-fil-A sauce, girl?
No, is this a commercial?
I'm so obsessed with her. It's What's someone the matter with on her? TikTok.
Oh,
She nothing is wrong with her, but like
she likes Chick-fil-A barbecue sauce.
She works at Chick-fil-A, and she is just it cracks me up. Let me see if I can find the video. But you talk about Angel.
Okay, so yeah, so the thing that Angel has going for him is he got like that entire Angel episode dedicated to him, right? And so we know he has like a very fascinating backstory, which to me is like the hook. That's what's keeping me interested in Angel, is the fact that we know he's been a vampire for a long time, and we know he did really terrible, awful shit with Darla. And so I'm interested in seeing more of him. I just also get like very irritated when he's so cryptic. So it's a bit of a wash for me. I like some things about Angel. I don't like some things about Angel. We know he gets a spinoff, so we know he's going to like be around for at least a minute. You know, he's going to be in the next season, I assume. And of course, we're all like shipping Buffy and Angel to a certain degree, I think.
Are you less into it than I am?
Less into Buffy and Angel?
Yeah.
I mean, how into it are you?
Pretty into it, yeah.
Then I would say I'm less into it. I just think like it's very like Romeo and Juliet, like they can't be together. One is the slayer and one's a vampire, blah. I don't know. I think there's other men out there that are probably better suited for Buffy than a vampire who speaks like one line at a time and then just leaves.
Do you want to see the Chick-fil-A sauce, girl?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I just don't understand. Is she just likes the sauce? I can't hear what's happening. I can see her. Oh. Lemonade. She's sticking her tongue out. What is happening?
Hold on.
Lemonade, please. A lemonade. All right. And then can I also have barbecue sauce? Or do you have like the buffalo sauce?
She's just ordering a lemonade to get barbecue sauce.
So you want a barbecue sauce?
No, I got it. She's just making faces and somebody ordered, she was like, do you want barbecue sauce? And she was like, no Chick-fil-A sauce? Okay, I guess you just don't get it.
I mean, send me the TikTok. Maybe when I watch it and I can see everything, it will be funnier. Oh my gosh.
Just for the Chick-fil-A sauce?
Do you have anything else to say about Angel?
Well, I mean, like, I think that he's just going to be more part of the crew next season.
Yeah. And the good thing, I will say, the one thing that Angel really had going for him, too, was, like, the fact that we were unspoiled on him being a vampire is massive. And, like, was such a shock and so fun.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah. Let's move on to our favorite British character, Giles. The librarian, Giles. I think I like Giles more than you do because I mean, he's like the lore keeper and he's the straight man, right? Like he's the like buttoned up librarian who's forced to be like the watcher and try to keep people out of danger. But his job is fucking hard. I know he's just the watcher and not the slayer, but he's dealing with teenagers here. That can't be easy, you know?
No, I feel like the most interesting thing about Giles for me was the fact that like, he's a Nepo baby. Like his father was a watcher. His grandfather was a watcher. And I really liked watching vibes that he had with Miss Calendar. Like, I need to see Giles, like, loosen up a bit more in the next season. I mean, like, I think that the issue with a lot of these characters is that it was a 12 episode season, and that we didn't really have extra time to dig into people's backstories and their likes and dislikes and, like, the things that make them themselves. And I really need more, like, character development for me to, you know, really take a liking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And Giles, you know, he just reminds me of a old library book, you know, a little dusty, a little yellowed. And I just want, like, a little bit more.
We're going to get more. I think you're right. Think, like, there's 12 episodes. It's not a ton of time for character development. I did think that in the I really liked the moment in the finale where Giles is going to, like, sacrifice himself instead of Buffy. Like,
I thought that was so dumb because that it's like, Giles, you can't do fucking nothing.
Well,
what are you gonna do? You can't do a thing.
He doesn't want Buffy to die, so,
it was a suicide mission. It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
A waste of breath.
I also really, I don't know why I keep harping on this, but the moment in Teacher's Pet where he, like, keeps talking about how sexy the other teacher is and, like, the way he says it cracked me up so much. So yeah, he's like his little British librarian. What's not to love?
I just feel like he's, like, too old to be hanging out with these kids.
He's a librarian. He works at the school.
Maybe he needs to, like, work with people his own age.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think they want a Watcher and a Slayer who are both teenagers. That just seems like a fucking mess.
Right. You know who is the best character of the season? Daddy Vamps. We've talked so much about him, and I know, like, we could probably go on, like, an hour diatribe about, like, his likes and his dislikes. If I feel as though I know any character well, it is Daddy Vamps. And maybe
he's
that's
so three-dimensional.
Four-dimensional. And I don't know if it's because of my own canon in my head, but, like, I just feel like I know every little thing about him. Like, his favorite color is red. His favorite shape is a circle. You know?
Certainly not a cross.
Definitely not a cross. He hates crosses, actually. So I know his dislikes as well.
He likes a little bit of pain with his pleasure. You know? Like, know things about Daddy Vamps. He's great with kids.
Amazing with children.
We could easily write a dating bio for, like, a dating app for Daddy Vamps.
Yeah, and we have, like, so many good pictures of him as well.
Have my own blood jacuzzi. Come and take a dip. Like, great with kids. I love Daddy Vamps. I think he was such a fun villain. The thing I love in a villain is when they enjoy being bad. And Daddy Vamps reveled in being bad. He loved to do a little whisper.
Was he bad? I mean, we've talked about this before.
He was misunderstood. He was down there for 3 score. Yes.
Only how long? I forget.
60 years, 3 score.
Like, he was down there for a long time. And a lot of that time, like, there was good times and there was bad times. And he had breakdowns and things were hard. And sometimes he had tantrums, but that is human. And that makes me just want to say, like, vampires and humans, not that different.
One drinks blood.
One drinks water. And you know what? Blood is thicker than water. And sometimes like a thick drink. Like a smoothie. I'm thinking like a smoothie.
Sometimes I like a thick drink.
THICC.
I don't know how I was going to bring Easter into this, but there was something about blood and water and wine and everything. Yeah. Just make a joke of that yourselves, people. But
He has risen, but he has not, because
he did rise. Died. He did rise, but then he was killed. This is probably the end of Daddy Vamps. But you know what? We loved eulogizing him. We loved chatting about him. And if this is just, like, a drop in the bucket in terms of villains on Buffy, then we have a great ride ahead of us. You know, like, if we were this in love with this villain, we should do villain rankings. Number one, Daddy Vamps, right now.
Write that down.
I'm writing it down. We're going to do character rankings, and then we'll also have villain rankings.
Thank you.
Okay.
Number one, rankings. Daddy Vamps. Put him.
Daddy
put him
Vamps.
There. Yeah. Nailed villain. It. She missed the I in villain.
I didn't miss the I. I spelled that correctly.
Well, you went back.
Well, I mistyped it. I didn't misspell it.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's talk about character rankings. Since we're talking about characters and rankings, let's do it. Let's do it up.
Should I remind everyone of what our
yes, please.
What our other ones were? Let me pull yeah. those up. So this was at the mid-season point. Sarah, you had Buffy at number one, then Daddy Vamps, Angel, Willow, Giles, Cordelia, and Xander at the bottom. Mm. What is your not ranking now?
Yeah, so I mean, kind of the same, kind of different. I have Buffy as number one, Daddy Vamps as number two. I think the halfway through, I was like, oh, it's for the bit. I don't think it's for the bit.
For the bit anymore. It's just true.
I'm genuine about it. Then I have Willow, which before I think I had Angel in that spot.
You did. Yep. So Willow moved up.
And then Angel after Willow now. Then Cordelia, then Giles, then Xander.
So
and
Cordelia moved up over Giles.
Yeah, I feel pretty firm about this. That is correct.
This is interesting because I think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of in our other shows how on the same page we were with our character rankings. I feel like we were pretty much on the same page a lot of the time. So my mid-season rankings were Buffy, Giles, Daddy Vamps, Angel, Willow, Xander, Cordelia. Mm-hmm. They're pretty similar. Buffy at the top still, icon queen, we love her. Daddy Vamps, Giles number two. I really like Giles. He's the lore keeper. I thought like, I don't know. I just genuinely really, he's a lot on his plate and I really liked him. Daddy Vamps at number three. He's an icon. So much.
A cultural icon.
Yes. Then I had Willow, then Angel. And so they were flipped in my rankings as well. Willow also moving above Angel, which I think is well deserved based on what she did, like what she said to Xander of like, I'm not gonna be your
second pick. what she did, but also like the lacking of once Angel got found out to be a vampire, then yeah. I think that he took like a little bit of a step back. Like he was there, but only for moments, and he didn't even contribute in the final fight.
Oh my god, you know what? You know how vampires can't be seen in reflections? He literally yeah. became invisible in the show after he came out as a vampire. Wow.
Actually, yeah. he was there during the final fight-ish. Like, he was there with
He was Xander, there, but like...
He was there, but like, why was he not fighting vampires?
Seriously, you can't die, bro. Come on. Yeah. Take one for the team.
I don't know.
So Willow, Angel, then I have Cordelia, and then Xander with Cordelia moving above Xander. I personally think that Cordelia will probably end up moving up in my rankings as time goes on. But like, who's to say? We'll see what happens. But that's where we stand on the characters for now. I think this makes sense. I think anybody probably could have guessed roughly what our rankings would be because we've talked about the show a lot and I hate Xander. So. Let's get into our MVPs and LVPs of the season. Sarah, you and I are in lockstep with these MVPs and LVPs.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we both voted for Buffy as our MVP and yes. Xander as our LVP. And I think that based off of our, how we went through the characters, like it's pretty evident why we feel that way. Like Buffy's just like such a great female protagonist. Like we both really like her personality. We both really are rooting for her. And Xander is a guy that's in the show that just irks us.
Yeah. I think this was like a runaway for both MVP and LVP. Like I don't think it was ever going to be anybody but Buffy for MVP, and LVP it was never going to be anybody but Xander. Like it just feels so easy to make those both MVPs and LVPs. So we'll see what happens next season. Let's talk through some of our least favorite episodes and then we'll get into some of our favorites. My least favorite ends up being the sole one I did not podcast about, mm-hmm. which was The Pack. I fucking hated that episode. It was Xander-centric. Yeah. It was dumb as fuck. It was called The Pack, and where the fuck were the werewolves?
Oh, my God. Get over it.
I'm literally over it.
All right.
So I was not a big fan of The Pack, which I think you were not a fan of either.
No, I didn't like it. I mean, I think that I didn't mind that it was a Xander-centric episode. Like, the Xander stuff was mildly interesting. Like, what I didn't enjoy about it was, I mean, like, I really felt like very icky about the pig dying and about the cannibalism. Like, I don't really like that. And it was very nonsensical. The whole thing was very nonsensical. And the villain was a weirdo. And the pack of, like, mean people were, like, we didn't even see them before or after. It was just, like, a drop in the bucket. And, like, the fact that it was a pack of hyenas, it was just really stupid. Like, even the lore, when we found out what it was just, it was just 1,000% stupid. And not funny stupid, just dumb.
Just exactly. Just stupid. Just didn't make sense. Was dumb. Who cares? We don't. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. What was your other least favorite episode?
For me, it was Teacher's Pet. Like, I didn't like the bugs. I just thought it was, like, really dumb. And it was just, it was, like, stupid. I don't know. It was just, once again, just, like, dumb. Like, and I think that I think that the two that I didn't like were the ones that felt, like, the most outlandish. And I don't know. Maybe it didn't have, neither of them had Daddy Vamps in it.
Yeah, exactly. That was another thing. Put Daddy Vamps in more episodes, people. Yeah, I was like, I think for me, Teacher's Pet didn't necessarily hit my least favorite episodes list because I had such a fun time on the podcast with, like, the like praying mantis of it all. It's just, like, it was so cheesy that, like, I kind of enjoyed how ridiculous it was, even though it was pretty bad. But the other episode that made my least favorite list was the puppet show. And that was because it's just, like, something about ventriloquist dolls, like, creep me out so much. Like, it was so creepy. And I also, like, I felt like we should have seen the baddie that it ended up being a little bit more. Like, it was a bit like, wait, who the fuck is this guy? Where's he been? So, yeah, Puppet Show was another one on my least favorite episodes list.
I mean, like, the reason why I didn't have it super low is because, okay, the front half of it was really scary and good. But then once we found out that he wasn't the demon, it was awful.
Yeah.
But the first half was pretty good. I was like, ooh, this is so scary. I'm terrified.
When Buffy is holding him up on the wall, the puppet, is just, like, so ridiculous. When he's stabbing with the nut, it was just, like, so silly.
Yeah, but, like, when he was scurrying about, I was, like, horrified. I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I also really hated the misogyny from the puppet. That was not fun.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So that got it bumped down on the list as well. But let's go to Brighter Pastures. Favorite episodes, Sarah. We're similar in our lists. Our top two are the same. I think these are probably everyone's top two from the season, I would say.
Probably. Okay, so my number one episode of the season is Angel. And the reason being is that I think it was the first time that, like, I was genuinely shocked. Like, I really, like, talking about, like, backstory and people's past and learning about what makes people click. I just really loved getting to know Angel's past and the fact that he was, like, the baddest vampire of all time and that, like, him and Darla, like, terrorized Europe together. Like, all of that was just so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And it was really compelling. And I think that the fact that we both were completely surprised, like, it just made for a really amazing viewing experience. And I think that is probably how people were feeling when they watched it first run, when it came out in 1998. I think that we're really lucky to have that experience of just not knowing and not being spoiled on that and getting to see it come into fruition.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I had Angel as my number two episode, even though it's incredible. It's a really, really good episode for the shock factor. It feels like the, you know, the little bit of the will they, won't they of Buffy and Angel, right? Like, all of that happens in Angel. It's a really good episode. I totally agree. I loved hearing about, and we got a lot of Darla, which we love Darla. I loved hearing about Angel and Darla and their past and wanting to know more about it, which I do hope we eventually get in some flashbacks. But for me, I put the number one episode as Prophecy Girl, the finale. I was really impressed with the finale. I felt like it all came together so well with like this final boss battle being really fun. It has everyone there. Like this, it was a bit like silly with the penis monsters, but like it was really good. We got Daddy Vamps and he's like reveling in his badassery. Like it was just really, really fun. So I had to put Prophecy Girl at number one, but it was close where Angel was my number two. And I went back and forth on the two of them as which one deserved the top spot more. But they're both really, really solid episodes.
Yeah, I have Prophecy Girl as my number two, and I think it's just a really amazing season finale. And in a world that Buffy didn't get renewed for season two, a really compelling series finale as well. I think that, like, I just think it's just really epic, like having them walk down with the three of them with the music in the background. It was just like really badass, and seeing Cordelia come, like everybody coming together to you know, take down Daddy Vamps. It was just like really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was a fun finale, and I know like people have said like this, you just wait, like this is just one of the great finales. Also on my list, I had Nightmares, which is a really good episode, and I just like the idea of like psychological warfare, you know, like that felt new and different and showed how human Buffy was. So that was like a really, really solid episode. And I also had iRobot Eugene, just because it was so fucking ridiculous. That it made me laugh so hard because it was so stupid and being jacked in and all this. Well, nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's one of the things that podcasting about it and having Josh here like colors your experience a little bit. Like,
yeah,
I had it like a lower middle for me, but if I had to like rank our podcasting experiences, yeah, of course we had a blast on that podcast.
Yeah. So, what are some of your other favorite episodes, Sarah, that we haven't talked about yet?
I really liked the pilot, Welcome to Hellmouth. I thought that it was a great pilot. I thought that I did a really good job of setting the scene of Sunnydale, getting to know our characters, an introduction to everybody. And I thought that it was just like a really interesting pilot. I had a good time with it. And I also talk about like, because, like, the good thing about the show is that there is some, like, kitschiness. So it would be right if I didn't mention, like, my favorite kitschy episode, which was Witch. And I just thought that it was such, like, I love anything witchy. And I thought that it was, like, really interesting about, like, the mom and the cheerleading and eventually getting trapped in the trophy. I just thought it was really cool, and I liked watching it. I liked watching their take on witches, and I'm excited to see potentially hopefully one day more witchy stuff.
Well, and I think that also that ending was really interesting in terms of them not being afraid to go dark at an end of an episode and not be like bright and happy Sunnydale. And we have like the mom being like trapped in the cheerleading trophy at the end of the episode, which also allows them to come back to that as like a storyline if they really wanted to. So I definitely appreciated that ending of that episode as well.
Yeah, it definitely kind of set the scene of like some of those other weird, unsettling endings that we got throughout the season, which is maybe a signature of Buffy. Remember the episode where they're like, yeah, we're just going to like die alone and never find love and like be all alone forever.
It's like, damn, Buffy.
I was like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
Now it's on to one of my favorite moments in every season wrap up. It's predictions time. I've written down some predictions I have. Maybe we can go a little bit back and forth on some predictions we've made. Do you want to start things off, kick things off with a prediction that you have for season two of Buffy?
Sure. I think that we are going to find some new talents from the other Scoobies supernatural persuasion.
Ah, okay. So this is leaning into the like, will Willow become a witch?
Sure.
We've had.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. I have one that there will be a very, very brief Xander and Buffy thing that I will hate. And the reason I have this as a prediction is because it felt like in the finale, when Xander was the one who had breath in his lungs so he could save Buffy from drowning or whatever the fuck, it felt like there was a moment where she looked at him a little differently. And I'm wondering if they're going to lean into that in season two. I will hate I will hate it. But I feel like we're kind of destined to get it at some point. So I'm going to put that down as a potential prediction for me.
Mm-hmm. I could see it. Mm-hmm. I think that we're actually going to get some like actual concrete romantic stuff between Angel and Buffy.
Okay. So we're talking about like defining the relationship.
I don't know if they're ever going to define the relationship, but like, I think that they're going to be like making out. I think that they're going to be like, I think that there's a world where like she considers him to be her boyfriend, but he's like, I can't. I'm a vampire. I'm like undead.
I'm too old for you.
Yeah. But like, I think that she's still focused on Angel.
Okay. I have a prediction that Willow is going to get a boyfriend that ends up being a monster again.
Oh yeah. I can see that. Yeah. My dummy.
This time over like an actual physical boyfriend, not just on the computer.
What a dummy.
I just think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I believe that what do I think is going to happen? I'm gonna dream big and say that Xander's just gonna die. hey now, this is what dreams are made of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like let's just dream big.
I'm gonna say Angel's gonna continue to be his cryptic self, but that we will get at least one episode dedicated to his backstory. And I'm talking like flashback sort of episode.
I think it'll happen. That would be nice. I think we're going to get a new main character.
Ooh, this is a good prediction because we know there's a character still who hasn't made an appearance that people love. Mm-hmm. But we have no idea when they make an appearance. So that's a good point. Right. Ooh, what if the new main character has some sort of powers?
Yes.
That would be cool.
I believe that they will.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put that down too. We'll have powers. I'm going to predict Giles and Miss Calendar are going to fucking do it. And maybe in the stacks. I'm just going to put in parentheses because I like that for them.
In the stacks.
Mm-hmm. He loves a techno pagan.
I mean, who wouldn't love a techno pagan? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that like Buffy is going to take like a couple of episodes to kind of like bounce back. Like, I don't think that we're going to see Buffy being like a cheery, happy Buffy. Like, I think that she's going to kind of be in a little bit of a funk.
I mean, that would make sense. She just almost died.
Yeah.
I predict there will be a strong, badass female villain.
Because
I want to
see. Is she going to be like a teenager like Buffy? Is she going to be like Auntie Buffy? Oh, I think we're going to see Auntie Buffy at some point. It's just going to be Sarah Michelle Gellar, but evil.
Ooh, okay. So like kind of clone. Like what's the Spider-Man Venom? Venom?
Venom. Sure.
Evil Buffy, aka Auntie Buffy.
I mean, we're definitely going to have that at some point.
I mean, I love that idea. And for my last prediction, I wrote one word. Werewolves.
It's not happening.
It might happen.
No, it's not gonna happen.
Listen, I'm manifesting it to happen.
Yeah,
for sure.
We're gonna get one werewolf. It's gonna be actually just a wolf. He's gonna come from a Native American background, and then he's going to imprint on Buffy's daughter,
on a child. Yeah.
Renesmee.
Jesus Christ.
Buffy Nay.
Do you have any other predictions that you'd like to make for season two?
I mean, that was just my prediction. I just said it.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, werewolf. Don't write that down, please. Don't, please, for goodness sake. No, that's it. I'm fine. My life is fine. That's plenty of predictions for me.
Well, we did get one piece of feedback from our friend David, and he sent it in, and he said that season one does a decent job of setting up the series and establishing the characters and universe. It is considered a weaker season, but it has more to do with how good the remaining seasons of the show really are. And he also mentioned that it is a mid-season replacement, which is why it only had like a 12 episode order. Makes a lot of sense.
I am a television podcaster.
Nailed it. And he gave his sum of rankings for him, or excuse me, he gave rankings for the characters as well. He had Buffy at number one, which he said, like, I don't know how anyone would not have Buffy at number one. Very, very fair. And he has Giles at number two because he loves the lore and Giles explaining the lore, which we know Sarah tunes out 90% of the time. But he pointed out something that I hadn't really thought about a ton and makes a lot of sense to me, which is like a father-daughter sort of dynamic between him and Buffy. At the very least, like by the end of the season, I think it's there.
I didn't think about that because I haven't had a father in 16 years.
I don't even think about fathers anymore. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that whole father thing.
Oh my gosh. At number three, he has Cordelia. And he says, this might be controversial, but Cordy.
Wait, who is number two? Oh, Giles.
Giles, yeah. Cordy is more entertaining than Willow and Xander, and her character's role on the show makes the show more fun, which is very true. And he says, plus I enjoy transition from mean girl to mean girl who respects Buffy, even if she doesn't like her and occasionally lends a hand. And she drove her car through the school. And as a person who also did that once, I have a respect for her. What, David,
David,
please tell us the story about you driving your car through the school.
Yeah.
Like what?
Jess, what did you have a car during high school?
I did. Yeah.
What was your car?
I drove a blue 2000 Ford Focus.
Wow.
It was cute. The blue was unique, so I never lost my car in a parking lot.
What do you mean it was unique?
Like, it was a unique shade of blue.
Mm.
So, like, no, I never saw another car that was the same color, which was nice because you could always spot it. But at the end of its life, it did start to shake when I went above 55 miles an hour, so that was a bit scary. You know?
That was great.
And I had roll down windows, you know, not the push button.
Yes. Yeah. And, I remember those.
And it was on backwards on the driver's side. So you have to wind it the opposite way.
Oh, wow.
But it's just little things.
Such a unique car in so many different ways.
What about you? Did you have a.
No, I didn't start driving until I was 23 because I was too afraid.
Oh, I forgot about that. You did.
I was a scaredy cat. So technically, I've only been driving for like 10 years and change. I'm such a new driver.
Oh my gosh, you're practically a baby.
Such a baby. Yeah.
Number four on his list is Willow. He says that she does like move past her being the typical smarty nerd friend, a little smarty pants. Then he has Angel at number five, which I was honestly surprised to see Angel so low on his list. He says he starts out as a gorgeous, annoying, cryptic hint guy and doesn't really begin to develop until his origin episode. And then he fades into the background for most part for the rest of the season, which was exactly what we said. David says, I've always felt like Angel demonstrated early on why he was able to carry his own series. His vampire with a soul is very compelling. It's very true. I just think like David's right in that. He really did fade into the background for the back half of the season.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So then. Yeah.
Oh, and Xander is last on his list. Oh, yeah. For reasons we've already stated, he ages poorly. He's a relic of the period in media when his character type would have ended up with Buffy eventually. I originally watched this and I honestly identified with him and rooted for him. David, I think that was by design, like by the show. It's like not your fault. You know, it was a different time.
Don't beat yourself up, David.
Yeah. But now he just comes across as being shitty in the way he acts like he's entitled to end up with Buffy. And he says, I'm curious if he will be able to climb out of this basement at any point as the rewatch continues. Who knows? And I did love this little message he left at the end of this where he says, as for Daddy Vamps, I enjoyed y'all's reaction to him a great deal. He is fun in a campy way, but he doesn't hold a candle to the big bads coming in the remaining seasons.
I refuse. How dare you say that?
He practically spit on Daddy Vamps's like cold dead body.
His
skeleton that was left behind.
All right. Well, we'll see. We're going to have villain rankings. So we'll see. Yeah, just don't know. I mean, like I can hold on to a bit like nobody's business. And with that, I say you too can get Panera Sips for only $9.99 a month or free unlimited sips for free for only $9.99 a month. Unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, That was season one. Thank you so much, David, for your feedback. If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod.com, shit90spod@gmail.com. Hit us up on social media at shit90spod. If you want to send in any feedback at all, it's always greatly appreciated. And while you're at it, you could give us 5 stars because we haven't asked for that in a really long time. And I feel like we might as well just ask for it, you know, because you don't ask. If you don't ask for something, you don't get it.
Is that true?
Well, unless it's like a gift or something, which I also love a gift. So.
I mean, like, if you are so inclined, if you would like to, that'd be very nice. So, Jess, we are coming back next week with season 2, episode 1 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Do we know what the episode's name is?
Yes. When She Was Bad.
Oh.
Bitch, is this like a Buffy flashback to like when she lived at her old school or something? Yeah. When she was like a badass bitch? Because I want to see that.
It is Buffy in her Reputation era.
I cannot wait. It sounds like fun.
That sounds very interesting. Very intrigued. So we'll be back next week for that. You can catch us at shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, send in feedback, like we said.
Yeah.
And aside from that, in April, we are covering Drive Me Crazy, the Melissa Joan Hart movie with that guy with curly hair, Adrian something or other.
Yep.
And we are also covering The Mummy with two amazing guests.
With two amazing guests. I'm so excited to talk to both of them. Their voices should be familiar to those who've listened to the podcast previously. So we're really excited to have them on and chat some movies. But yeah, next week we're diving right into Buffy season 2. So Sarah, another one in the books. In those books.
They are getting heavy. Yes. So heavy. Giles will just cream himself over it.
If Giles can read again, remember when he forgot how to read?
Yeah, his biggest fear when he forgot how to read. Yet he's the most interesting character that ever existed.
The most interesting. Anyway.
Anyway.
That is all for this week. So until next week, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.